The Exchange Daily Podcast is brought to you by
Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Welcome to a new fiscal year in New Hampshire and a new state of uncertainty. After Governor Hassan's veto of a Republican-backed budget last week, the state is now operating under a temporary plan, which is less generous than the GOP budget Hassan rejected. Her objection was largely based on two business tax cuts, which she said made the budget unbalanced and fiscally irresponsible. But on Tuesday, in a letter to Senate Finance Committee members, Hassan reiterated what she called her willingness and availability to work together, to offer compromise proposals, and to negotiate in good faith. On the same day, Finance Chair Jeanne Forrester expressed Senate Republicans' concern about the veto's impact. In a news release, Forrester said the governor's actions were hurtful to the people of New Hampshire who were counting on the funding from the legislature's budget. This hour on The Exchange, state budget stalemate, why it came to this, what it means, and what could be the way out. Let's hear from you, Exchange listeners. The number 1-800-892-6 6477 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We have four guests in studio. Chuck Morse is here, Senate President and a Republican from Salem. And Senator Morse, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Also with us, Sean Jasper, House Speaker, a Republican from Hudson. Speaker Jasper, thank you also.
You're welcome.
Also with us, Mary Jane Wallner, Representative from Concord, ranking Democrat on the Finance Committee. Representative Wallner, welcome back. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
And also with us, Andrew Hosmer, Senator from Laconia, a Democrat on the Finance Committee. And Senator Hosmer, thank you also for taking time.
Thanks, Laura. It's nice to be here.
Well, I want to hear from everybody, obviously, but I'll start with you, Senator Morse. How serious is this?
Oh, it's serious. I think the complications of going to a continuing resolution will start to show up this month. So I think we have a lot of work to do, and we'll work our way through it. I think everyone here has made a commitment that we're going to continue in July like we were in June, and we need to do that.
What are the complications that might come up that you mentioned?
Well, I think so far the complications are employees and how they're funded. All of that is going to end up at fiscal at the end of July, and we're going to have to approve making sure the funding sources work under the scenario we're in right now. Beyond that, I think the editorial in Foster summed it up today that reality is there are a lot of new programs that aren't going to get up and running in New Hampshire, and I think we all have concerns about that.
Given divided government, Senator Morse, and I'm going to ask everybody this, but I'll go to you first, a Republican legislature, a Democratic governor, how serious an effort do you feel has been made throughout this whole six-month process to keep checking in with the other side so that the state didn't end up in this serious situation?
I think we've worked well together during everything. We created a budget that we worked together and we all agreed on in the last one. We worked on health care with Senate Bill 413, and I know the senators, when we failed the first time, said we're going to get this done, and we got together and we worked on it. I see this as the same scenario. We do have differences, and we're not going to be able to get over those unless we sit down to the table and start talking, and we've already started that process.
Yeah, so, and clearly, it's always a process. It takes 6 months. There's always a lot of give and take, House, Senate, Republicans, Democrats, the governor, and so forth, which makes me wonder, Senator Morse, you know, again, it's always a tough process. Why didn't it work out this time? Why are we in this situation? We haven't been in this situation in more than a decade.
Yeah, I think reality is numbers don't lie, and when we build budgets in the state of New Hampshire, we do them with the help of accountants, and that's what we did. And reality is we build the things that we think we need to fund first, and we did. And when we got down to the end, obviously there's a difference between the governor and the legislature on how much more we should be funding and how we fund that. And I think that's the point we're at right now.
Yeah, and Speaker Jasper, I'd love to hear from you on this, too, that, you know, lawmakers and the governor had 6 months to get it together. Were there enough steps taken along the way to find solutions that work for everybody?
Well, I want to say that right from the very beginning, before the governor's budget ever came to the House, I encouraged the governor to be an active participant in the process. And I think to a large degree, she wasn't. Until the very last couple of weeks when we came down to the Committee of Conference process. Now, that's traditionally a process between the House and the Senate. But we all, from both the House and the Senate, spent a great deal of time with the governor and her staff in those last couple of weeks trying to work on the issues. And we addressed many of the issues that she had. But the bottom line was it came down to the modest reduction in the business profits tax, the fact that expanded Medicaid wasn't in the budget, which we made very clear from the beginning that wasn't going to happen, and the state employee pay raises, which hadn't ended up in either version of the budget. And to a large degree, the governor had been silent on that until the end of the process, and that was a little bit too late.
The temporary funding plan that we're under now, Speaker Jasper, why did lawmakers decide to go with the lower current spending levels instead of the higher spending levels that the House and Senate Republicans had already agreed on? My understanding is the last time we were in this situation, the higher levels were chosen as the temporary plan.
Well, I wasn't part of – I was in the House at that time, but I wasn't part of those negotiations. We did have a different situation then. We had a Republican governor, a Republican House – in a Republican Senate, and the differences were minor. That was a 3-month continuing resolution. So I think the leaders at the time felt that that made sense. We think we produced a very good budget, and there was a great deal of angst over the fact that the governor was going to veto the budget. We also felt that it, you know, having put a good budget together and the governor saying, here are the issues, that she didn't like, to give her the same level of spending in a budget that she just vetoed didn't make sense. It was something that at least the members of the House were, you know, just simply not going to go along with.
And we've been talking a lot about the governor. I want to let everybody know that we're working with the governor's office to have her on also to talk about this. But we do have two Democrats here who I also want to talk to about some of the moves that Democrats, including the governor, made. And Representative Wallner, to you, similar question, but from your end as a Democrat, you guys knew that the business tax cuts were a huge priority for Republicans. The tax cut bills were SB1 and SB2. Doesn't get more obvious than that. It shows what a big priority they were. So why didn't Democrats make more of an effort to just work with that understanding? Say, hey, Republicans, we don't like these cuts, but we can see they're really important. So let's massage this and come to some agreement here.
Well, I think that Democrats did work to say that. And I think the governor was pretty clear from the beginning that she did not support this level of business tax reductions. I think she's clear in her veto message that she's worried about what's going to happen in future budgets. In this particular budget that we're looking at now, $23 million, it's a lot of money, but it's not a huge amount. But as you go out into the future, you go into the next budget, you might see as much as $90 million in business tax reductions. And in New Hampshire, that is a lot of revenue that would be missing from the next budget. And I know she's concerned and Democrats have been concerned. And I would say that my experience, and I think the experience of the House Finance Committee, was very different. We had actually very close working relationships with the governor's office and with the budget director. They were there. We received the budget in February, and they were there working with us the full time while the House had the budget. So I think that to say that the governor wasn't engaged is really not exactly correct.
The governor and Democrats have talked about this $90 million hole from those two business tax cut reductions. But let's just clarify, Representative Wallner, that's $90 million over 3 budget cycles, not all at once.
Right, over the next 3 budgets, but that's a big reduction in revenue for the state of New Hampshire, and we need to take a look at how we're going to pay for that if we're going to give tax reductions, then we have to pay for those tax reductions.
And Senator Hosmer, I want to go to you too, but one more question on this $90 million, Representative Wallner. How common is it to calculate the impact of a policy change over three budget cycles? Do we normally forecast that far ahead in terms of revenues? Because
no, and I think it's unfortunate that we don't, because I think what we really need to do is take a look at what it means when we do something today. What does it mean for the future of this state? And it may feel good to be doing these at this time, but when you look out into the future, we better be sure that we are not putting the state in jeopardy.
Well, and Senator Hosmer, to you, all year we've heard widespread agreement from state house leaders that New Hampshire has some serious needs to address, especially mental health and substance abuse. We've heard a ton about that. We've heard many lawmakers from both parties say that these needed immediate attention. How is the public, people listening right now, supposed to interpret that message of crisis, we got to do this, we need action, with this lack of ability to reach agreement? I mean, how is the public supposed to view these sort of competing narratives? We have to do this now, but, oh, not right now because we can't agree with each other.
Well, I think the governor, as well as Democrats in both the House and the Senate, have been willing and able to work on a comprehensive plan that isn't just Republican priorities. It also incorporates some of the governor's priorities and Democrats' priorities. And to follow up on the question you asked Representative Wallner, too, I think our responsibility is both for the short-term budget, the next biennium, but also for long-term consequences of the budget we're implementing right now. And that's why $90 million makes a difference. In this biennium, the $21 million, the cost of the tax, the initial phase of the tax cuts put in place, that could go to mental health. It could go to more funding for substance abuse and misuse. It could go to fully funding the state employees' contract, which everyone was aware of at the beginning of this year. And the governor did have a responsible budget, which provided for the funding for that budget. So these are clear priorities for the governor and for Democrats. And I do believe that we can come together. We have to get back to the table immediately and start working on these issues.
So my point with Representative Wallner, though, was that $90 million is an estimate. It's not for sure, even though Democrats keep talking about this. And that typically we don't estimate incoming revenues. Gosh, how many years out is that? 5 or 6 years, three budget cycles.
Well, it would be remarkably short-sighted if we don't take into account the impact that the loss of that revenue will have. And though it's an estimate, it comes from Department of Revenue Administration. So there is some substance. It's not just picking a number out of the sky. And when we're cutting the governor's budget or allocation or request by 30% for substance abuse, that's about $3 or $4 million. You know, $21 million makes a big difference.
All right. All of you, coming up, we'll dive into some of the detail that all of you have mentioned, the Medicaid expansion, also the tax cuts. I'll let you, Senator Morse, and you, Representative Jasper, talk about that. And we'll also look at some of the substance abuse and mental health programs, what happens to those in this temporary situation. We'll also take your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the state budget stalemate. We're sitting down with top state lawmakers, and let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Exchange listeners, what are your thoughts on this situation? The inability of lawmakers and the governor to reach agreement on the budget and this temporary situation that we find ourselves in. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. One more time, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. We have four leading lawmakers with us. On the House side, we've got Mary Jane Wallner, representative from Concord, and Sean Jasper, House Speaker, and a Republican from Hudson. On the Senate side, we have Senate President Chuck Morse, a Republican from Salem, and Andrew Hosmer, a Democratic senator from Laconia. One more time, that exchange number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. And let's talk a little bit more about the business tax cuts. And just before the break, our two Democrats made the case that they felt that this was not a fiscally responsible way to go in the years ahead. Sean Jasper, what do you think about this $21 million hole that I think nobody disagrees on, right, in this budget cycle, but then the $90 million that Democrats are projecting years out?
First of all, I wouldn't call it a hole. We depend in New Hampshire on our businesses for a huge amount of our income. We have the 10th worst job creation in the country. We have to do something. There's a lot of little things we can do to bring businesses into New Hampshire to make it more attractive. This is a tiny, tiny thing. Anytime we've ever done anything with business taxes, in my memory, it's always at a half percent or a full percent at a time. This is $21 million out of $11.3 billion. That needs to be put into perspective. That is less than 0.2%, which is out of our ability to accurately forecast revenues anyhow. So it's realistically a tiny number. Going forward, if we're talking three budget cycles, we're talking budgets that are going to total in those three cycles probably nearly $35 billion. And again, we're talking $90 million. So it's being made out to be this huge problem. In perspective, it's not. And we need to be attracting more jobs because that's how we fund our government. It's a funny thing. In 11 budget cycles, it's the first time I've heard anybody talk this way about, well, this is a $90 million problem going forward. Well, then let's talk about what's Medicaid expansion going forward in that same period of time. Because all we talk about when we talk about Medicaid expansion is the impact it would have on this budget, not the next two, five cycles. So this is not playing fair, if you will, because you've got to talk about both. How are we going to pay for that?
Representative Wallner, is that a fair point that, you know, if we're going to project out on this business tax cut proposal, we should project out on everything?
And actually, in a lot of ways, we do project out on things. When we have bills come into the House, bills come in with fiscal notes. And many of those times, fiscal notes do project out. So we do sometimes do take a look at what happens in the future when we to help us make our decisions. And we have to weigh what's what are good decisions and what are not going to be good decisions. One thing I was going to add was when we went in January, the House Finance Committee held a number of day-long seminars with economists from all over New England, really. And they came and talked to us about what does New Hampshire need to do to move forward? How do we attract business? How do we encourage businesses to come here? How do we encourage businesses to grow? And actually, the thing that I think resonated with all of us and we heard over and over was what businesses look for is a well-educated and ready-to-work workforce. And what we needed to do in this budget, I think, is to address that with the University of New Hampshire system, with the community colleges, and with our high schools and public education. And actually, the University of New Hampshire ends up a little bit less than level funded, and the community colleges also. And the University of New Hampshire last week had to announce that they had to increase tuition in the next year, highest tuitions in the nation.
And we've done hours and hours of programming on these business tax cuts. So just one more question for you, Senator Morse, on this. We keep going back and forth on this. You know, New Hampshire's corporate tax rate is relatively high compared to the rest of the nation. Then Representative Wallner says, but businesses really care about workforce, infrastructure, and so forth. What's your take on that, on what really businesses are looking for when they look at the states and they decide where to grow or settle?
Actually, I think they're looking at all of that. I think they're looking at energy. I think they're looking at workman's comp. I think they're looking at our tax structure. I mean, and I've heard from enough people as we've got into this debate. You know, one place we didn't take the debate is to all the states around us. I mean, you just have to look at Rhode Island. They went from 9% down to 7%. They're going to be under New Hampshire, and they created surpluses. In 14, they created $68 million, and it looks like in 15, they're going to be over $100 million. We didn't go to talk about that. Well, our concern was for these students that are graduating, we wanted to start to drive the economy to create jobs, and that's why we put the tax reduction in there. And where we did compromise, and I think that's important, is when we built the budget in the Senate, we realized we couldn't put the tax cuts in until the second year, and that's what we did. We put them
in
the second year to make this work. And I think that it's a good package right now for New Hampshire to start growing.
Let's take some calls, see what our listeners think, and then I have a lot more questions for all of you. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. First up is Sarah in Manchester. Hi, Sarah. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Laura. I was hoping that Senator Morse could speak to whether these business tax cuts, which I agree were totally necessary, they place a undue burden on our businesses to contribute for what all of society needs? And does this show that we need actually a broad-based tax that would spread that burden out over the entirety of society to pay for society's needs?
Sarah, thanks for the call. And Senator Morse, it is worth pointing out that states that have lower business taxes also tend to have income and sales taxes to make up the funding gap, if you could put it that way.
Yeah, I'd first like to point out that we came out of a budget right now that's at $10.7 billion, and this budget's $11.3 billion. I think New Hampshire is growing at a pace that can provide the services. You know, one thing that we skipped right over was we fully funded the mental health that was asked for in the governor's budget. When it comes to alcohol, we went up to $42 million. That's a 75% increase. We were at $24 million in the last budget. You know, we looked at all these things, and I think we are properly funding New Hampshire right now. But I do think in order to drive the economy in the future, we need to start to think about how we can work with businesses. We've accomplished a lot this year. I mean, we've worked on energy and we have worked on workman's comp. I think this is the next logical step to make the budget work and to drive the economy.
Well, and this gets back to something I asked you earlier, Senator Hosmer, but I'll ask you again. Again, Senator Morse making the case that, you know, mental health and substance abuse, everybody is worried about that. Is it worth it to hold back the funding for these programs that so many people say are important over your dislike of business tax cuts?
Laura, I think when you look at the budget, you have to look at the budget in its totality. The priorities set out in this budget, which is a $90 million hole in the budget that the state hasn't paid for, which is not enough funding for education, which does not fund Medicaid expansion in the New Hampshire Health Protection Program. Those are priorities that are very strong priorities for both for the governor and for Senate Democrats, and they are not included in this budget. Therefore, if we're going to have tax cuts, and we're not philosophically opposed to tax cuts, but you have to have a way to pay for it. Now, perhaps I've spent too long in the private sector, but this is the first time I've ever heard anybody say $90 million is a minuscule number.
Well, it's $90 million over three budget cycles. It's 21 this budget.
Well, $90 million three budget cycles from now is still an enormous amount of money. It is not minuscule when I think of it has a huge impact when we know that for $12 million we can handle Medicaid expansion and renew the New Hampshire Health Protection Act. We know that we can fully fund the state contract that was negotiated in good faith, and we can add money to rebuild our mental health system and to take on this huge crisis, which is heroin addiction and deaths. It's devastating the communities that I represent, and I really think the state ought to be pulling out all the stops to take this on because the long-term consequences will be devastating to our communities and our economy.
And Representative Wallner, are you letting the perfect be the enemy of the good? You know, again, substance abuse, mental health were funded more in this budget than the last budget. So is it worth holding off on these critical priorities, again, because of the business tax cuts?
I think that the governor was pretty clear in her veto message that what she's concerned about is those out years and about the making sure that we have the funding available in the out years to fund those kinds of things. I also think it's really important to mention the state employees' pay raise. State employees negotiated in good faith with the state. They negotiated a contract. We're fortunate to have the kind of state employees we have. They keep the state running. We've reduced their numbers. We've asked more and more and more of them, and to not provide them with a state with a small pay raise.
It was 2%,
very small, 2% pay raise. I think is something that we need to take back to the table, and we really need to talk about that.
Again, our number 1-800-892-6477, email exchange at nhpr.org. It's your chance to talk to some of the state's top lawmakers on this budget stalemate issue. So let's hear from you, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Speaker Jasper, you wanted to jump in, and then I have a question about Medicaid, but go ahead.
Sure. The first thing I wanted to say is that the reason that we don't really get into the details of future budgets is we have a government that is all based on two-year terms. Anything that we do can be undone in the next budget, so we never focus on that because we don't know who is going to be the governor. We don't know who's going to be in control of the legislature, so we focus on the here and now. And so it really is a little bit beyond what we normally do. In terms of the contract, to this day, I have never seen the contract. No one in the House has been provided a copy of the contract. I've been doing budgets in the town of Hudson since I was 21 years old, and I have never been asked to vote on a contract or approve a contract on the town level without having seen the contract first. And that's what the House was asked to do here, and that's just totally unacceptable to me.
I'm glad you guys raised the state employee pay raise, because that's another sticking point between the governor and the legislature, that plus the business tax cuts that we've been talking about, that plus Medicaid expansion. Is that, Speaker Jasper, an area, meaning the state employee pay raise, where you might find some common ground with the governor? Okay, we'll give you this if you give us that.
Certainly, that's one thing we've made clear to the governor, that as we go forward and if revenues continue to improve and we see the contract and we can agree to what's in there, that is certainly an area that we would feel comfortable bringing forward.
Senator Hosmer.
Well, I just don't think you can neglect to fund a contract that's been negotiated in good faith and take the savings associated with that contract and use it to balance the budget. This is a contract that's been available to all of us since the beginning of the year. The governor has spoken about it. She put it in her budget. And to sit here now and to say, well, I didn't read the contract, therefore I can't include it in the budget. Well, we should read it. We should be voting on it. And we can't balance the budget by breach of contract.
Speaker Jasper, real quick, and then we'll go to our listeners.
The governor is the one asking for us to fund that. I shouldn't have to go asking for the details. As a matter of fact, I understand, and this president can speak to this, that he did ask for that, and at the very end got some of it but not the entire language, but he can speak to that.
All right. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. A couple emails have come in. Here's one from Michael who says, I want to thank the New Hampshire legislature and governor for all the time, energy, and effort on the budget. Michael says, I'm a professor in the community college system of New Hampshire and see firsthand how budget choices impact our great state. He says, our students need to have access to affordable education. And remember, they are the future workforce of New Hampshire and America. What about higher education, Senator Morse? How is it going to fare under this temporary situation?
Well, the community college system, we funded them to make sure that they could freeze tuition, and they worked with us to do that. I think that's extremely important, and that's what we tried to get to with the university system. Obviously, we couldn't get there, but we did increase their funding. We increased it by 8%. I mean, and if we're going to contradict, you know, what happened in this budget phase, we can talk about the fact that we took $3 million away from them in one of the governor's executive orders. So, and they didn't say a word. So things like that are things that we need to go back and look at and really be honest about the fact that we gave them more money, 8% more money in this budget. I think we all realize what higher education means to New Hampshire, but I also think we need to start talking about the jobs that these students need to go into when they graduate, and that's what we're trying to do with this budget.
Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Let's go to Dorothy in Leominster. Hi, Dorothy. Go ahead. You're on the exchange. Dorothy, you're there. Good morning.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, Dorothy.
Yes. Oh, okay. I was listening to the radio, and I didn't have my phone up high enough to be able to hear it. Okay. I'm calling because I am questioning the budget regarding the senior citizens, specifically the budget would cut way back on funding for the senior citizen centers, for transportation, for the seniors, for Meals on Wheels, for Service Link, which services both seniors and the disabled. And though the cuts for that would be quite drastic in regard to senior citizens.
Well, Dorothy, let's talk about that. And Mary Jane Wallner, that initially was the concern, but yes, that got resolved somewhat in the Senate, didn't it?
Yes, it did. The House did remove funding for Service Link, Meals on Wheels, and a variety of other services for the elderly. And I think in the Senate, they were restored back up to the level that the governor had in her budget. So I think that was a real positive move that happened in the Senate to get those services. We have to realize how important those services are to keep seniors in their own homes and not have to have people going into expensive nursing home care. So I think that's something that everyone shared concern about.
All right, Dorothy, thanks for the call. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Marguerite is calling from Hillsborough. Hi, Marguerite. Go ahead. You're on the exchange.
Hi, this is Marjorie. Thanks for taking
my
call.
Oh, Marjorie, I'm sorry.
That's
go ahead.
Fine. That's fine. I'm a state representative from up here in Hillsborough, and a week or so ago, I went to a workshop that was offered by the New Hampshire Fiscal Policy Institute featuring Michael Mazaroff of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He's a man who's studied for the last 8 or 10 years about the effects of business tax cuts on attracting businesses and jobs to states. The overwhelming message that I came away from that workshop was that cutting business taxes are not a very effective way to get businesses into states. And the fact they do look more closely at quality of life, educated workforce, infrastructure, et cetera, and that business tax cuts rarely, if ever, pay for themselves and only do so if there's another source of revenue to help make up for it, which New Hampshire doesn't have. So I'm just wanting to bring that forward. Although I am not against business tax cuts, I don't think they're going to be the panacea for getting more jobs into the state. Thank you.
Marguerite, thank you very much for calling. And Senator Morse, boy, we keep going around and around on this philosophical question. What evidence is there that these small reductions in business tax cuts would sort of make businesses all of a sudden more interested in New Hampshire than they already might be?
Well, I don't think it's the panacea. I think it's a point of contact with businesses that we're hearing from people that they need to make. Reality is, I told you about Rhode Island. If we want to go to a state that basically made changes in their business tax cuts and grew their rainy day fund from $1.5 billion to $2 billion, and put health care in place in this state, you know, you can just go to Ohio. I mean, there's a dozen states that you can go to right now and point to the growth in their economy and in their budget just because they cut taxes. And I think that's what we're trying to do here in New Hampshire.
Marjorie, thank you for the call. And you can join us, too, at 1-800-892-6477. More in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, a panel of State House leaders joins us on the state budget stalemate. And you can join us, too, with your questions and comments about this, what it might mean, how it happened, what the way out might look like. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Chuck Morse is here, Senate President, a Republican from Salem. Sean Jasper, House Speaker, a Republican from Hudson. Mary Jane Wallner, Representative from Concord, ranking Democrat on the Finance Committee. Andrew Hosmer, Senator from Laconia, Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee. One more time, the number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And all of you, let's go right back to our listeners. George is in Gorham. Hi, George. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, House, the members of the President from the House and the Senate. My comment is mostly a comment, but where I started to work for the state 8 years ago, we had initially in the type of work that I do, I'm in corrections. The retirement system that I was came into was based on retirement three best years, and it was renegotiated at some point. I lost out now with the best 5 years. I went from 2.5% for retirement to now it's down to 2.2%. So it seems that the longer I work for the state, the more my retirement system seems to be set back or renegotiated to lesser terms. It used to be in business, and I've been in multiple business, both self-employed and for major companies. When you went to work for them, and the expectation was that if you agreed to work for them for X number of years, you were entitled to a certain amount of retirement from them or some type of arrangement.
So wondering, George, you're wondering about your retirement and a little concerned that it might not be very well funded. Is that what you're trying to say?
The way it's been going, it keeps deteriorating to less and less the longer I'm staying actively working for the state.
Okay. Well, Judge, thank you for calling in. And yeah, it's a tricky situation. And Mary Jane Wallner, you addressed concerns of state employees earlier. I mean, the retirement system, we haven't even dug into that yet. Is that part of this?
We could do a whole program.
Yeah,
on
I have
the retirement
done programs
system.
On that. And is that part of this budget wrangling or not?
Well, not really. I don't think that it's what we're really concerned about at this point is the contract that the state employees negotiated, and that now the pay raise is not in the budget to honor that negotiation. So, though I know the retirement system is a big concern for both legislators and state employees. But like I said, you'd have to get the real experts here to talk about that, talk about the retirement system.
Well, and Senator Morse, what do you think of what Speaker Jasper said before the break, that the state employees, funding the state employees' 2% pay raise could be a negotiating point between you guys and the governor?
Well, I agree with the speaker. It is a point where we could have discussions, and we did offer that to the governor that we could fund that in the second year. And we were shot down outright on that issue. The reality is, I think we can go back and talk about this, but, you know, we're going to have to talk about where we are, because the strong disagreement right now, which everyone's talking about the budget, they agree that we've done some great things, they agree that it should be on the ground and running. The reality is the governor's presenting a totally different situation on where we are financially. And I have concerns about that. And I think those numbers are not going to show up until September. And in order to go back and look at this, I think we are going to need time to do that.
Well, and Senator Hosmer, Speaker Jasper made another point that I wanted to follow up with you on. And that's the idea that, look, you know, we have election cycles every 2 years. We have budget cycles every 2 years. If these business tax cuts turn out to be so terrible, as Democrats say they will, then, you know, you can change them again. But for now, let's give it a try. So that $90 million that you guys keep talking about isn't set in granite.
I don't think there's any problem with us giving those business taxes a try.
So is that another point of negotiation?
It is. The problem is, how do you pay for them? When we believe that you're not funding infrastructure, you're not funding contracts with state employees, when you're not funding our university system to the levels that we believe should be a priority, then that's where the rub is, really. So we have to make up. You can't have unpaid tax cuts going primarily to corporations that are based out of state. We should be investing in the priorities of our economy, which is infrastructure, education, a healthy workforce. And also, I agree with Senator Morse, we've got to be looking at energy costs in this state to get a handle on that. Those are the priorities.
So even at $21 million, never mind, you know, the $90 million that you guys project, even at $21 million, you object to this?
I object to it right now philosophically because it's not paid for. And when we should be funding education to a higher extent, when we should be funding more for our heroin crisis in this state, I've got a problem with that in giving tax cuts to corporations and neglecting the people of the state.
Well, here's a tweet that just came in. This person says, can any of your guests argue why the alcohol fund has become negotiable after 5% of ale sales was dedicated by law since 2000? I'm going to throw this to you, I think, Representative Jasper. There's a certain amount of money that's supposed to come from liquor sales to go towards alcohol and substance abuse treatment. And typically the legislature has raided that year after year. I think they only funded it 1 year. Can you address this, or Senator Morse, do you want to address that?
That isn't something I have a great deal of expertise in, but when you look at how much money we put into the alcohol and drug treatment in this budget, I think that sort of negates that argument. I think we have more than met our responsibility here. And unfortunately, many of the good things that we had in this budget are not going to come to fruition anytime soon because of the governor's veto. And I think that's really unfortunate. You know, you talk about the Meals on Wheels, talk about all these other things, the drug treatment, not going to happen. The idea of paying for this $21 million, when we talk to the governor about paying for it, you know, first of all, that's not the state's money. We're not paying for tax cuts. If you want to talk about replacing the revenues, we did more than that in agreeing to the revenue estimates that went up tremendously. That's how we got from the House's budget to where we ended up. So
why you were able to add more with better revenue estimates.
With better revenue estimates. But, you know, what the governor wants is additional tax increases. She has put on the table about $128 million of other options for tax increases, she says, would pay for the business taxes. So she's saying cigarette taxes. She's saying automobile registration taxes.
Keno.
Keno was in there, something the House would go along with, the Senate wouldn't, which I personally don't know enough about to really have an opinion on whether Keno's good or not. It's not an issue I've studied. But so there's all these other taxes, and we believe we're taking enough out of the economy. You have to look at the fact that this budget is up 5%. That's pretty healthy gains. We met the challenges. The difference between where we started out and where we are is relatively small in the grand scheme of things. We have a much, much better budget that the House and the Senate passed than the budget that we just came out of, which was a budget that the governor had signed previously.
Well, and Representative Wallner, to the folks like this person who tweeted, who are very concerned about alcohol abuse, substance abuse, projects that are on hold, I mean, what does this stalemate mean for them?
Well, it means that for right now, if there was additional funding in the upcoming budget, that will not be available. I think what this all points out to me is how important it is that we all get back to the table and we start talking and start finding out where we have common ground and where we don't, and how we can come to some resolution about this so that in early September we can be ready to bring the legislature in and pass a budget that will meet the needs of the state. When I was in 2003, I was on the special committee that dealt with the veto. And we
back
came
back under Governor Benson. The last time we were in this situation.
Yes, Governor Benson. I went back. I just wanted to do a little research. I wanted to see, well, when did we come back? I couldn't quite remember. And we came back, actually, we came back on like July 15th. And we reconvened a group and we started working with the governor. And it was a different situation. It was a Republican governor, Republican Senate, and Republican House. But we met in July and August. And then on September 3rd, the legislature came in and passed a budget. I think we need to get going, get together, sit down, and start talking and list what our issues are and see where we can come to some agreement.
Well, let's talk about that because, again, people are nervous about this situation continuing, especially those who've been waiting to get some of these newly funded programs up and running. So, Senator Morse, why is it going to take until September or October? That's the timeline that I've been reading in the newspapers anyway.
Well, there's two things going on. One, on Tuesday and Wednesday, we started working with the governor to try to put some structure to a process. But we have to understand one thing. The challenge, I think everyone believes this is a good budget. Where the governor's put a challenge in the budget, put the taxes aside, put anything to do with health care, is the $49 million that's moving from 15. You know, the governor came in probably 6 months ago now and said we weren't going to meet our revenues. So she cut and said we need to get $18 million because we're not going to meet the revenues. So she couldn't have anticipated spending $45 million because as of today, that seems to be the number that we ended the year ahead.
Okay, now you've kind of lost me and probably some of the audience. So.
And I'd like to explain to the audience. Basically, right now, we've used money from 2015 to move forward for the 16 budget. Perfectly logical. We've done it before. This last budget that we're living under right now, we did the same thing.
A surplus, a little bit of surplus left
and
over,
we
you carry
it
forward.
What the governor is saying is we can't do that. We can't move the money forward. For what reason? The only reason that we couldn't move that money forward is if we've overspent. And that was never discussed until the last moments of the Senate Finance Committee's meetings. The reality is, I believe what we're going to find out in September, and you can't find out earlier, I don't believe, is that we've overspent our 15 budget and we need to go back and account for it. The only way to go back and account for it is to keep this budget open for 6 months and have enough savings this fall. But that's going to hurt all these groups. That's going to hurt all the groups that we put in the budget.
So how do you guys, sitting here, given the concerns, and everybody seems to agree, we don't want to be under this temporary situation for much longer. I'll turn to you first, Senator Morse. How do you guys get together and figure that out? I mean, at some level, everybody's got their point, but at some level also, you know, the people want you to figure this out. So how do you get started? And I want to hear from everybody on this, but go ahead.
Same way we did on health care. We went through a special session where we couldn't agree with the governor.
This is the Medicaid expansion.
Yeah. The senators came from both parties and said, we want to work together to get this done, and we did. I think the senators now have to get together. I think the House members need to get together, and we need to figure out a solution of how to move forward. But when you're talking budgets, you're talking numbers, and we need access to numbers to be able to make this all work, and then we'll figure it out. But reality is, I hope we don't hurt any of these groups that we all worked very hard, everyone in this room, to make sure that this budget was properly built.
Yeah, so Senator Hosmer, how about you? What's the first step? How do you work it out? Again, everybody's got their differences, and I get that, but at some point it needs to get done.
When we're talking about a surplus in the budget, I don't think it has to be as complicated as sometimes we make it out to be. We get into the weeds. But the fact is, the governor anticipated certain spending challenges with increased caseloads.
For children.
She had an $18 million executive order to freeze hiring, travel, and equipment purchases. So she was very much proactive in addressing some of these concerns. What we have to be careful of, in my mind, is that we must be using revenue from 2015 to pay for the bills in 2015, not taking revenue from 2015 and using it as a starting point to go into the next biennium budget when the bills have yet to be paid. So I agree with Senator Morse that come September, when some of the audits start to get completed, we can get a sense of what we have for revenue. But saying that we have a $49 million surplus that we're immediately going to roll over to the next budget is probably a mistake to be making. We ought to be paying all our bills in a timely fashion as they become due with the funds from this year.
Okay, beyond this sort of fiscal issue that has come up in recent days, how are you, as you know, a leading Democrat in the Senate, going to pull the rest of the Democrats together in the Senate and sit down with Republicans and make this thing happen?
That's a great question. And the difference between this budget cycle and the last budget cycle is I feel that the last budget cycle was bipartisan. There was an open door policy. There was give and take. And when we reached a compromise on the last budget, it meant each party had to give up something here. And I think going forward, Democrats are willing to work all summer long with Senate Republicans, with the governor's office, and certainly with the House to find compromise here. I'm optimistic that we can do it. We have a lot of people who care very much about this state. And if we just focus on the needs of the citizens of this state and everything else should go to the wayside, I think we can come to a responsible compromise budget come this fall.
What's the first step, Speaker Jasper?
Well, as much as I'd like to say that I think we can do that, we're facing three big issues here. Medicaid expansion, which the House has clearly said not going in this budget, we'll talk about in January. Business tax cuts, which are really at a minimal now, and they're going to stay in the budget. And then we're looking at the finances. You know, and again, the Democrats, the governor, seem to want to change how we do business. We always carry money forward. In the two budget cycles ago, it was $71 million. The last budget cycle, it was $51 million. This budget cycle, it's $49 million. LBA, which is nonpartisan.
Budget assistant.
Correct. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And they feel, the numbers they've looked at 2 weeks ago, that our lapses, that's the money that's left over, is going to more than exceed our estimates. So we're very comfortable talking with LBA that we're on good standing. There are always bills that come in are billed in a cycle so that they don't get paid until the next budget. That's totally normal. That's what we always do. It's within the normal range, according to LBA, what we're anticipating being done. And so the dynamics of how we're trying to do this budget are being changed by the governor. And that's just you don't do that.
So this is why the public – you're trying to explain to the public, this is why we have to wait till September to even get started on this thing?
Well, actually, yes, because of the fact that she's making allegations that LBA can't confirm, so we have to see the numbers to be able to come together on that very important issue.
On that one issue. Never mind Medicaid. Never mind business tax cuts. Never mind state employees. I want to get you and Mary Jane Wallner real quick. Senator Morse, did you want to –
I just want to make it perfectly clear. New Hampshire's laws don't allow a governor to spend more than what was authorized. And the reality is we came in with an extra $45 million. So It's very clear. It's an easy thing to look at. You don't have to be an expert in finance to study that.
How are you going to come together, Mary Jane Walner?
I think we've just got to call a meeting, get everybody around the table, and start laying it out with the people who are important to making these decisions, Senate President, Speaker, Governor. I think we need to get together and start working it out. We can't wait until September to start working out. We may need more information in September, but we need to start now sitting down and really working it through.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody being here today. We've got to close it out now. Thank you so much for being here. Good luck.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Laura, very much.
This is The Exchange on NHPR.